Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I go to the rock. How many of you want to get to that rock? Before I preach, I'm going to look at, I'm not preaching yet, just warming up. I'm looking at Psalm 61. We're looking at verse 2. Thank you for standing. When I'm preaching, you will see now, but this time it's just 2. Give you something you need to go home with. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. There are times when your heart is overwhelmed. You don't know what to do, where to go. And you try to cry, to scream, to do whatever, and satisfaction doesn't come. I've tried to, you know, punch everything and pick everything and draw everything, but nothing. And then it says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Don't do anything, just get there. Even if you don't have to pray, just sit down there, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Something will happen. Amen. Now we're ready. Would you close your eyes? We'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because we know that today you are going to bless your people. Lord, give us not just what we want, give us what we need. Amen. So that we can go through life with a key in our hand. And we can know that everything will be all right, will be well in Jesus' name. Amen. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Amen. Grant us the right focus. Amen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. We can sit down. As I come to the Word of God this afternoon, I want you to please listen very well. The reason I'm saying that is because I've been going around to different countries and to different congregations, and I've been looking at the church at large. And I've been asking myself why the church is where the church is. And what we really need to do as every individual. And I've been having the privilege of looking at other people that have got something done in the past. And I'm asking myself, what did they have that you don't have as an individual? And as you look at them one by one by one, and you wonder why people are the way they are, you can only come with one kind of answer or solution. The focus of your life matters a lot. And that's why as we look at this fresh focus, I think the people that God used to bring all this together, and they talk about fresh focus, and they're giving us a fresh focus, they may not know the extent to which those words, fresh focus, actually apply to everyone. That's why as I look at the Bible, I'm looking at personal fresh focus in life. Personal fresh focus in life. If you were here last night, you'll know that I spoke about a blind man, blind Bartimaeus, and all he could do was that he sat by the wayside begging. Well, that was the extent to which he went. All he was looking for and waiting for, I want to receive my sight. That's good. That if Jesus is there and is there to open your eyes and you're able to see, that's great. But I'm asking myself, are there people in this world? Were there people at this time? Are there people in every generation that had been blind? And with the blindness, they were not sitting by the wayside. I can tell you, I've seen medical doctors that were born blind. They were born blind. Their blind eyes were not opened. They went to school. And they got, you know, their certificates, and they went to university, and they became medical doctors, and still blind. And they were operating as real, professional, successful doctors, and they were still blind. I'm asking myself then, this man by the wayside that is blind, and he's waiting for just a sight before he could do anything in life. That's his focus. His focus was on his eyes. But that other man, having the same blindness, his focus was on, I have the brain, I have the understanding, There's nothing that is different between me and them. The only thing is that I can't see the physical, but without my mind's eye, I can see through my mind's eye. I'm asking myself now, are there people that were lame? I see these people that were lame in the Bible, and it says that this man was lame. He was sitting at the gate of temple, at the gate of the temple, beautiful. And all he could do was just to sit down there. I'm asking myself, are there people that were lame before us? And even at this time, that are lame, and yet they're doing something significant. Do we have to sit down at the gate, beautiful, just because we're lame? If your legs are paralyzed, but your brain is not paralyzed, your mind is not paralyzed, and your desire to be something in life is not paralyzed. If you have a quickened brain but paralyzed legs, you can still get somewhere. I know, so I've read about somebody who was a governor in a state in America, and he was paralyzed, and he was a governor. And he spent his term, and he did well, although he was paralyzed. I'm asking myself, why is it people have to sit down at the gate, beautiful, just because you're paralyzed? Now, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, sometimes the problems we have here, there are people that sometimes you have what they call depression. You understand that word? Depression just means you get to the point you're just unhappy, you are depressed, you are down, and it's like a syndrome. And then some people like that, all they think about is to pray and to pray and to pray. And the more they pray, because of the way they pray, they explain the problem, they magnify the problem, they shout about the problem, they talk about, and the more you talk about it, the more it expands. And if you have known, if you have read the story, the autobiography of Abraham Lincoln, you've heard that name before? Who was that? Again? President of America. And he is rated as probably one of the best, if not the very best, next to George Washington. That man had depression. And there were times he was just totally down. In the midst of the Civil War, he'll sometimes go into that despair, despondency, and depression. And yet the man was leading the most powerful nation in the world. I'm asking myself, why is it just because you have some things we're going through? And then that blocks our mind, blocks our eyes, and we cannot even see at all. How many of us have heard about C.H. Spurgeon? Thank you very much. He himself wrote about it. If you read his sermons, that man, he had terrible depression. It will be, and people knew that he had it, that he was really, really depressed. And when you think about the Prince of Preachers here in the United Kingdom, that's the man. That man preached, isn't it? And then, to worsen the case, his wife was almost like an invalid. See Spurgeon. With the depression that he had, the wife also was totally dependent upon him. And yet the man still did something. I'm looking at all these, you know, Pentecostal churches. When they have a little headache, that's all. Everything comes to a standstill. That's the reason I'm saying we need a fresh focus. Not focusing on your problem. Not focusing on the inadequacies, incompetencies, and whatever. Have you heard of John Wesley before? You know John Wesley? That man, God, he was a great, great man. I will not take anything away from his greatness. But he had a wife, and that wife was a kind of personality. Sometimes John Wesley will be reading the Bible like this, and the woman will get so angry and pull John Wesley by the ear and be dragging him like this. And holiness preacher, what could he say? Nothing. And then he'll go out there and preach. And he made a mark in his generation. You know, some people, they have little problem. Some people, if they have a little problem in the family, a child is sick, that's all. Everything, they are kind of wiped out. They cannot do anything. Have you heard of this book, Pilgrim's Progress, before? Who wrote that? John Boyan. John Boyan had a blind daughter. And that blind daughter was dependent totally upon him. And yet the man spent many years in the prison. And in the prison there, with no liberty at all, a blind child at home, also imprisonment, he took his pen and he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And it's next to the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress, in the sense that when you think about the distribution and the translation to many languages, there's no comparison between the Pilgrim's Progress and any other book. And these people had problems. If you heard about Fanny Crosby, have you heard that name before? Blind and deaf. And I'm asking myself, how is it we have eyes to see, ears to hear, a voice to sing? How could a woman that was blind and deaf compose songs? If you open any songbook, like Sankey, if you open that, sometimes you'll see the composers there and see Fanny Crosby, Fanny Crosby, Fanny Crosby. And I said, this woman was blind and deaf, and yet did what she did. I will see that you are not blind, you are not deaf, and the little headache you have is what you concentrate on. We need a fresh focus. You see, all those people, you know what happened to them? They were looking at the right thing. They were not looking at their problems. And then you think about Helen Keller. You've heard about her before. She was blind. And yes, she got into history. Not somebody that just passed through history, passed through life without making a mark. He made a mark. And, you know, think about, you know, a man of the Old Testament. His name is Moses. And Moses, when God called him, he said, God, why are you calling me? I cannot do this. I am a what? A stammerer. And you know, sometimes if you are like, if you are there, you're a stammerer, you're praying and fasting, Lord, take this away. If your self-esteem is affected, your confidence is affected, you cannot speak in the public. If they ask any question and you know the answer, because you look around, if I stand up now and begin to talk, everybody will know I'm a stammerer. You are not going to open your mouth and say anything. But Moses went before Pharaoh, before those magicians, before all the Egyptians, and he said, let my people go. It might take him 5 minutes to pronounce that sentence, but he will say it. But you know, when you have the right focus and you say, this is what to do in life, no matter what it is, I don't have. I know that you're expecting that we're going to pray, and of course we're going to pray. But my challenge, my problem is, I'm saying, Lord, they have eyes, they're not using it. They have brain, they are not using it. They have ears, they are not using it. They have all these things, they are not using, and they want to have another thing again. I said, why don't you first of all learn how to use what you have? And then God will say, wonderful, you're using what you have, I'm going to give you extra. But seriously, now seriously, why should God give me one thing more when I have 70, 73 things I have to my advantage that I'm not using? And then I'm praying, say, God, God, give me this. And God is saying, but count the 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 73 you have. You're not using any of them, and you're just asking me for another thing. There's a lot we can do. I said, there's a lot we can do. Do you know the name Samuel in the Bible? Again? Yes. How many sons did he have? 2. Those sons, were they saintly, angelic? Again? No. Bad children. But Samuel did not allow that to worry him. He went on and he made a mark at his time. Whatever problem we have, whatever problem you have, there is somebody in the Bible, as well as in history, as well as in the church, that had that kind of problem before. And yet, they climbed on top of that problem and they got to where they got to. That's why I'm saying, I am going to get to where I'm going to get to. And it doesn't matter. The things that surround you and the things that might have happened, that you're able to say, I don't have this, but thank God I have this. And thank God I have this, and thank God I have this. That's why the song is telling us, count your blessings and see what the Lord has done. But you know what you do? You count your losses and you see what the people have done. See me. See my life. See what they did to me. See this one. See this one. See this one. By the time you say, see this one 3 times, tears are already coming down. But you are singing, it's like you are standing on the promise. You are singing, standing on promises, but you are sitting in the premises. Praise the Lord. That's why the Lord is saying, turn around and change your focus. And let us have the personal, fresh focus in life. And things are going to be different. I said, things are going to be different. I'm looking at Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, we're looking at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Think about that. David the psalmist said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That's a focus. I'm focusing on this. I'm zeroing on this. I'm paying all my attention. I give unto this. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. We're looking at Luke chapter 10, verse 42. One thing, one thing, one thing. Luke chapter 10, verse 42. But one thing is needful. That's what Jesus said unto Martha. When Martha was worried about this and worried about that and worried about that, one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Your part will not be taken away from you in Jesus' name. We're looking at Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 13, Philippians 3, verse 13. One thing, one thing, one thing. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You know, if you think about Paul the apostle, he himself even wrote down as to his physical appearance. He said, I know what you Corinthians are saying, and I've had the slander and the gossip. You think I don't hear what I'm hearing? He said, his letters are witty, but his appearance is another story. That means he had a kind of diminutive, very short, and, you know, not very sightly. Even when you look at him, that's what he said at that time. And he said, I heard that his letters are witty, but his appearance is not. And yet he said, whatever you think about me, that doesn't matter. One thing I do, and that I will continue to do, is when you have the focus in life. And who did as much as Paul the apostle in the New Testament? That's what I'm saying. Please, I want you to be blessed and get this and get this and get this. But can you think of what you have already? And say, thank God I have this, and thank God I have that, and thank God I have that. And those things that you have, you'll make use of them, and you're going to go places in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you heard of John Calvin before? John Calvin, you've heard of him? He's the one that actually determines all that the evangelicals believe, a system of his institutes. Of a kind of theology. That's everybody almost depends on that. And that man had real. Spurgeon was talking about him, and he said he thought he had problems, that Spurgeon, with his depression and all that he went through. But he said when he read about the thing that happened to John Calvin, he knew that his soul was not to be compared with that of Calvin. And yet, look at what he did in life. And as you think about all these people, that's why you're telling yourself, just relax and say, Lord, I'm not going to sit by the wayside begging, because, you know, I'm not going to be the companion of Bartimaeus. You know, sometimes that at present now, when I read my Bible and I read everything there, and I read under the line and between the line and above the line, I say, you know, people don't understand what they are missing. I pray that God will open our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. Personal, fresh focus in life. Can you say that with me?
Personal, fresh focus in life.
I'm talking about this in three dimensions. Number one, the danger of distraction from life's purpose. The danger of distraction from life's purpose. As you start up in life and you want to say, what do I zero in on? What do I focus on? What will my fresh focus give attention to? Then you make sure that you put that before you every time, and then you understand the danger of distraction from life's purpose. Number two, divine directives on life's purpose. You know that there's a purpose, there's a goal, there's something to achieve, there's a place to get you, and God gives you his own directives in that. Number three, decision and dedication to life's purpose. Decision and dedication to life's purpose. wants to know that this is what to do, this is where to get you, and that is the place to reach. Now you take a decision, you make up your mind, and you say, it doesn't matter what challenges are there, what problems are there, I'm going to get to the place, I'm going to get you, you'll get there in Jesus' name. Just some questions for you before we go to that point. Number one, you know, questions, if you start with what, where, when, who, how, and why. Many times, if you're looking for something in life, and you're looking to get to a particular place or achieve anything, all you need is to ask yourself, where is that thing? What is it I want to get? Or who is it I want to become? Who is it that will join me and help me to get this done? How do I do it? Why do I do that? And when will it be done? Number one, where have you been? Where you are today is as a result of where you have been. Begin to examine. If you are not in the place you want to be now, it's because you have not been in the right place. Then change, turn around. Where have you been? Number two, what have you done? Because where you have been and what you have done, where you were, is the result, is what brings the cumulative result of where you are today. And then, who have you become? Who have you become as a result of where you have been? As a result of what you have done, who have you become? Your personality, your self-esteem, your outlook in life, your mindset in life, the drive within you, and the possibilities that are stretched out before you is depending on who you have become. How have you lived? How have you lived? Did you stand when you ought to be standing? Standing for something? Did you sit quietly when you ought to be sitting? Did you run when it was time to run? Or were you kind of sluggishly walking when you should have been running? It is how you have lived your life. That's what brings us to this point where we are now. Why are you still here on earth? Start thinking. Why should you live another day? What assignment do you have? What is the Lord expecting you will achieve that he will leave you here another day? That's the reason why you're going to have the focus. If I know the reason why I'm still here and why I'm still living, then I can say, now I know. And I know the place to go. And I know what to do. And then lastly, when will you begin to focus on essential things? When will you begin to focus on essential things? You know why I'm asking that? There are people that major in the minor. The major in the minor. And you think about the things you do during the day, and the thing we fuss about, and the thing we argue about, and the thing we're excited about, and the thing we feel the pressure about. When you analyze it, they contribute nothing to the place you are going. Let's say, for example, somebody is going from here and is going to get there, and he needs a vehicle to get him there. I say, now, what do you concentrate on? You're looking at the vehicle that will take you from here to there. The color of the vehicle, that's a non-essential. The make of the vehicle, that's the non-essential. The engine of the vehicle and the internal parts that will make the vehicle function to get me there, that's the essential thing. Concentrate on the essentials of life. When something is happening, ask yourself, how important is this? How essential is this? How consequential is this? Will this take me to the place I'm going? If it will not, that's a non-essential. Strike it off. Whatever people do, whatever people say, and you put something on the road, and you know something like a barrier there, and a barrier is there, and you ask yourself, does that barrier really hinder me? Is there not another road I can take and overlook that barrier? Why do I stand in the front of that barrier? And then I'm crying, I'm fasting, I'm praying. If there's another road there, hey, don't waste your life. Take that other road and get to where you're going. Don't concentrate on non-essentials in life. That's how the people that made it in life, that's how they made it. And that's how I am going to make it. I said I'm going to make it. How about you? Just every day, just say, is this essential to where I'm going? Is this a non-essential? If it's a non-essential, forget it and go your way. Now I'm talking about the danger of distraction from life's purpose. I'm going to take some examples of people as I look at this danger of distraction. Number one, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. I may not read all the passages because the passages are familiar to you all. I need to do is to draw conclusion out of these things. But look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Again, that determines the life focus, the focus they ought to have in life. And they should have said, the most important thing, the major thing, we are created to have dominion. Dominion over what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Brothers and sisters, can you look up for a moment? I'm asking you now, just like we've read it, how large, how big was their assignment? The fish of the sea on the whole earth, and the fowl of the air, the whole earth, and over every creeping thing. And then they concentrated on one local tree. Think about that. The people that ought to look up and see the white sky, the people that ought to look into the sea and see all the fish of the sea had dominion, and the people that ought to just see that everything is under their control. And they got kind of bogged down on one tree, and the devil saying, why don't you eat this? Why don't you eat this? Hey, listen, we are not living to eat, we're eating to live. There's a difference between those two things. Some people live to eat. That means their life assignment is what? Chop, chop, chop. That's their life assignment. That's all they know how to do. But you know, we're not living to eat. We're eating to do what? We just eat so that we can do what we can do in life. Adam and Eve. Do you see why God puts you there? It's so that you have dominion over everything. And if you eat at all, it is so that that purpose will be fulfilled. Have you ever thought about that? And they miss out that one. They were distracted from the real purpose of life. Think about your life, where you are now, what you do. And think about the privileges you have. All those privileges that will lead you to life's purpose, the real goal, the things you are to become. And you don't concentrate on just this and then get yourself distracted. We're looking at Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. Genesis 11, verse 4. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Isn't that a great distraction? The Lord said, fill up the earth, replenish the earth, scatter everywhere. And he said, they were going to build a city and a tower to remain just there. Think about what you are doing. Is what you are doing in line with God's purpose, God's directives? Or is it just that this is me, this is what I want, I want to make a name? Is the Lord saying make a name or fulfill my will? If you are to do that, because all the trees are all over the earth, and the seas and the oceans all over the earth, and man is to cover everywhere and to exploit, and to have dominion, and to be able to extract everything that is there, the riches the Lord had put there. If you all stay in this place, in the Tower of Babel, how are you going to do that? The distraction from life's purpose. Here comes Saul. I don't need you. You know the passages of scripture relating to Saul, the first king in Israel. You know why Saul was appointed as king? The people said, give us a man that we're able to go to battle with us and fight our enemies. So we know the purpose why Saul was appointed king. And eventually, David came on. And when David came, a little boy, actually a teenager at that time, and can you think, David said, my lord the king, how did you come out? Understand that? You're supposed to be sitting on the throne, judging the whole nation. You're distracted. And you let that, and you are chasing a dead dog, and you flee. King, this is not what you are called for. In fact, you are called to fight the Lord's battles. Am I the Lord's battle? Check up your assignment and do what you are supposed to do. And you think, you think about that, so he wasted his life. And God said, this man is distracted. His soul will not do it. I'm going to find a replacement for him. God will not find a replacement for me. You know, when you concentrate on what God wants you to do. And David may be there. He annoyed you. They sang. Who cares about that? And after all, you know, the singing was not even recorded, because there was no tape recorder. And there was no CD, there was no DVD, and those women just sang. And you know what actually brought out the song? Why we know about the song is because Saul fought about it. If Saul had the song and acted as if he didn't hear, you don't hear about the song. You understand? The troubles you have, if you don't talk about it, nobody will know. It's because you talk about it, you fuss about it, you argue about it, you talk to this one, you talk to that one. That's how we know you have a problem. Otherwise, who knows you have a problem? Because silence will eventually bury the problem. If you just keep quiet about it and just go your way and do what you want to do, you'll be all right. I said you'll be all right. But that man was distracted because he concentrated on the wrong thing. Number four, a king in Israel. We're going to read this one. It's 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. And I'm reading from verse 39. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king. And he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. The assignment was clear. The duty was clear. The commission that he had was very clear. Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life go for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. Verse 40. And as thy servant was, tell me, busy here and there, busy here and there. It's not only the idle people that are guilty. The people who concentrate their lives on doing non-essential things are also guilty. Keep this man. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he forgot the real assignment, life's duty, life's purpose. Check up on your own life, on what you do. And as you analyze what you do from morning till evening, would you say that this is contributing to life's purpose? And as you look at what you do from week to week, would you say that this is contributing to life's purpose? And as you look at this year, this is October, almost running to an end, what you've done for this year, if you know the goal and the purpose for which the Lord has put you here, would you say that what you have done from January to this time is moving you forward in the fulfillment of the goal for which God left you here? This man said, as your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself has decided it. Actually, the prophet, this man was talking about the king. He only gave him that illustration. It was now in verse 41, and he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned, recognized him, that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, thus says the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And so you understand, the Lord wants us to concentrate on life's purpose and not just be here and there, doing things that may look interesting and look, you know, exciting, but it's not your life's purpose, life's assignment, the ministry the Lord has given you. And you remember the favored disciples, James and John. Jesus was about to go through Samaria, and the Samaritan said, no way, you are not going to pass through here. And all of a sudden, they forgot why God called them. Why did God call them? Follow me, and I will do what? Again? Killers of men. But see what they said. They said, Lord Jesus, give us chance. We'll command fire to come down. They forgot. to kill all those people. If they kill the Samaritans that time, what will happen to Acts chapter 8 when the whole city turns to the Lord? We'll miss the whole of Acts chapter 8 if these people distracted people. If they killed all those Samaritans at that time. Know your purpose and your goal. That's why Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are, because God has not sent his son to destroy, but to keep and to make alive. And then we'll remember the apostles themselves. The apostles themselves. As you look at this, I think as you read the scriptures with me, you now see the scriptures with some new eyes. Am I right? Let's look at this. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This is very important for you, for me. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But he shall receive power. Who was he talking to? I said, who was he talking to? Yes, I know it's the whole church, but was talking to those immediate disciples before him. And the 11, that is 12 minus Judas Iscariot, he was talking to them. And talking to the 120 that gathered on the day of Pentecost, you know, the upper room for their Pentecost. He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Tell me the next thing. Both in Jerusalem and where? And then where? And then where? Now, as you look at this verse, the assignment is clear. The assignment is clear. You, my disciples, Peter, James, John, Andrew, the rest of you, my ministry for you is not limited. Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, and where? Uttermost part of the earth. The uttermost part of the earth, is that Gentile or Jewish? Tell me out loud. Gentile, Gentile. The Lord wanted them, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. We're looking at verse 9. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should, tell me the rest, that we should go to the heathen and they unto the circumcision. I'm saying, wait, that's not the commission. It said, you receive the Holy Ghost, you my disciples. Paul was not there at that time. Barnabas was not there at that time. But you people, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. And eventually now they called only Paul and Barnabas. And they said, Paul and Barnabas, you go to the Gentiles, to the uttermost part. And we will stay only in Israel, only the circumcised. And then as I look at the church today, go to Israel. The church is at the level zero. What it did, what they concentrated on. At a zero level. It's what Paul and Barnabas did. Go to the Gentile world. Yes, they did. And now that's why England, America, and Africa, and Asia, that's Gentile world. They are the people that retain the gospel now. Because these people abandoned the goal that God gave them. And he said, we will stay here, you go there. And I'm asking myself, what's the logic of sending two people, Paul and Barnabas, to the Gentile world, many, many nations, and 12 key people in only one nation? Where's the logic that we send only two to the rest of the world, and then the 12, and the people that saw Jesus face to face, that got the gospel directly from the Lord, they were the people to just stay in this small locality? Think about that. That's the reason I'm saying that apart from all these other things that we want to get, why don't we have a fresh focus in our lives? And just say, this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. I will not transfer my assignment to another person. I didn't hear you say that well. That's what they did. They transferred the assignment. And you know, sometimes we'll think that's humility. It's humility. If you gave your child breakfast and say, eat this, and your child is hungry and it's for his health, and your child says, okay, he goes out and gives that breakfast to a stranger, Then your child comes and say, mommy, you know what I did today? I'm hungry now. But you know, I did something. I gave my breakfast to, I don't even know the name of the person. As a mother, you say, congrats, do that every morning. Tell me, you correct the child. That's why the Lord is correcting us. And he said, don't transfer your assignment, your ministry to another person. When they said, you know, you can go to the Gentiles. And thank God, Paul went. What if there were no Paul? What if there were no Barnabas? And God had given them the assignment. But they would not do it. That's why I'm saying, refocus. And get a fresh focus. And know that this is where you are supposed to go. And you will get there in Jesus' name. Point number two, divine directives. Divine directives on life's purpose. The Lord is giving us his own directives. And he's saying, I made you for a reason. I created you for a reason. And the reason why God made you must be fulfilled. I said it must be fulfilled. You know, if you have the support of other people, great. If you have the encouragement of other people, great. And if you have the assistance of other people, great. But if you don't, you will still do what God wants you to do. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. I'm reading from verse 21. These people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. That's it right there. You are a child of God. He has made you for himself. And he has created you for himself. You will show forth the praise of the Lord in Jesus' name. Yeah. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. But before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified, set thee apart, and ordained thee a prophet to the nations. He already did that for this Jeremiah. And he said, before you were even born, it was decided in the courts of heaven that this is what you will do. What's the implication of that? The implication is the nations were there. And this little boy was not even conceived yet. And then God said, in the courts of heaven, all these nations, I'm going to take care of them. What is the person that is going to take care of all these nations? No, if you check up in all the statistics of the world, population of the world is not there yet. And then the little boy is born. And after the little boy was born, he's introduced to who God is and what God is and what God can do. And all of a sudden, a voice came from heaven. Jeremiah, this is what you are to do. And he said, but I'm not grown yet. I'm just a little child. Oh, he says, actually, it had been decided before you were ever born that this is what to do. Divine directives as for life's purpose. And sometimes, you know, you are there and you don't understand why you are there. And the Lord is saying, if you comes at the right time, he says, get up now. This is what to do. You will do it. Amen. I said, you will do it. And I'm telling you that when you begin to do that, there are some people, they never listen to the Spirit of God. And you know what they're going to be looking at? They're going to be looking at searching for, you know, scriptures and verses. And they're going to, you know, find some verses and they say, oh, we've read in Leviticus that before anybody can do anything for the Lord, it must be 30 years of age. They're going to check up that. And they're going to say, Jeremiah, how old are you now? And Jeremiah says, you know my age. Now I'm just a little child. You're not 30 yet. Why are you doing what you are doing? I don't know. I even told God, I can't do this. It's not time yet. And God said, I am not part of that Levitical thing. And he said, arise, get it done now. You know, some people that all they know is checking up and finding some verses of scripture to cut down everybody. And when they cut down this and cut down this and cut down this and cut down that and cut down everybody, and they themselves are not doing anything. But they know the scriptures to cut you down. And to tell you that you cannot do it. Even Jeremiah also had that himself. He knew the scriptures to condemn himself and to say, no, I cannot. And God said, who are you to contradict me? If I say you can, then you can. Amen. And when God says you can, then you can. Amen. I said you can. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It strengthens you on the inside, and it will be done in Jesus' name. But you see here, God said, here is what you are born for. Here is what you are to do. And, you know, I don't lie, it's not good for me to, you know, talk about myself. But, you know, when I was much, much younger, maybe I told you before, but for those of you who have forgotten, I'll tell you again. All right? I said, is that all right? I was born into an Anglican family. Anglican family means that when you're a little child, they're going to, you know, baptize you as a little child. And when they baptize you as a little child, that's when they give you what they call a Christian name. And then we're going there. I used to see a man in a community. His name is, not this Johnson, but, you know, that Johnson. And that Johnson, I just loved that name. And so I got over there and they said, what name, what Christian name do you want? I said, give me Johnson. And then I got there, and you know, surprisingly, when they were going to write on my baptismal card, they wrote William. I wasn't happy. I said, but I wanted Johnson. But eventually, that stuck with me, and it's just William. And we're in Singapore. As we're in Singapore, at that time I've grown up now, I've started preaching. And so somebody listened to me as I was preaching, an American. He was preaching, I was preaching too. And then he called me apart. He said, you're William. I said, yes, of course. He said, do you know the meaning of William? I said, I never bothered to check up. He said, I'll tell you. He said, the defender of the faith. And praise the Lord. And you know, I've never been interested in any other sin. Even before I was born again, I wasn't even born again. All I wanted to do is open Bible to people and be teaching people. Even when I wasn't born again. Even when I was in the secondary school. And if anybody had a dream, they'll come to me and they say, this is their dream, I should interpret for them. And I always got something to say to them. Praise the Lord. And they always accepted, even when I wasn't born again. And everybody thought that I was there to defend. If the principal said anything in the assembly, I said, there's no God, they'll come to me and say, William, what do you say? I said, don't mind the principal. I'll straighten it up. I wasn't even born again. It's only now I know that this is what God has raised me up for. God raised you up for something. Get started. And begin to do it, you will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the focus we're to have in life. Have a focus and know this is what you do, you will do it. Amen. I said you will do it. Amen. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 17. Ezekiel 3, 17. In this passage, this is God telling Ezekiel the life's purpose, why he was raised up, son of man. I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, verse 16. Acts 26, we're looking at verse 16. Restore for a purpose. 26, 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. There's a purpose in your life. To make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Will you get up and do something? Yes. And then stop thinking about what you don't have. Think about what you have. You have enough. I said you have enough. Yeah. Well, can I, ask you a question? I want you to picture in your mind Martin Luther. Martin Luther brought the Reformation. He was in the Catholic Church, all darkness. And he didn't study the Bible very much. And he was reading the Bible. And he came across the just shall live by faith. He didn't know about sanctification, about second work of grace, about Holy Ghost baptism, about rapture, about the great tribulation, about this and that. But he knew one thing, the just shall live by faith. That got into him. And he stood up with that. And then he changed the whole of the Christian atmosphere in the world. Just because of that, the just shall live by faith. And you know that, sanctification, Holy Ghost baptism, about the rapture, about the great tribulation, and about the second coming of Christ. He didn't know all that. All he knew, the just shall live by faith. And see what he did, what he gave to the world. And with all that we know, if you sit down that, and then everything is still dark, you cannot even influence your community and say, I'm born for a purpose. It's going to be done. Amen. We're going to now refocus and say this is the fresh focus. This is why we have this fresh focus, so that the people of God, you're enlightened. And then you know that this is the direction to go now, and you get something done. Point number three before we pray. Decision and dedication to life's purpose. Decision and dedication to life's purpose. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set his face. He'll not look right or look left or look any other direction. This is the thing to do. This is the place to go. And this is the thing to achieve. And he just concentrated on that. And that's what the Lord is asking of you and asking of me. That if we're going to achieve the thing he has called us to achieve, and the reason he left you here on earth, that you must just focus and say, this is the thing to do, and you'll get it done in Jesus' name. And then in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 24. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. We're looking at verse 24. Acts, chapter 20, verse 24. It says, but none of these things move me. Think about the things that will try to move you out of God's will, to move you out of the path that leads to the fulfillment of life's purpose for you. The things that will have moved you, and I've told you about the problems other people had. Some of them were blind and they still achieved. Some of them were deaf and they still achieved. Some of them had depression and they still achieved. And some of them had some peculiar things in their families and they still achieved. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, whatever it is, none of these things move me. You know, there are times you'll find, in fact, the people I've read about some generals in the armies, that they have a kind of pain that you couldn't believe. And with that kind of pain, they still will stand up and control and command the army. And then when they are finished and, you know, the people are doing their fighting, then they'll go out and either they will, you know, put towel in cold water and put on themselves, or maybe in salt water or whatever, or they take hot bath, whatever. But when they are on duty and they know that this is the thing to do, they just get it done. And I'm thinking about some of these, we are not even Christians. And, you know, in England here, you remember Winston Churchill, if you've read the story. In fact, Winston Churchill, he was invited back to his alma mater. That is why he passed out of school. And they were expecting, because at that time, now the Second World War was over. And the student body was gathered. And he actually composed a song in his honor. And he sang that song after I corrected one of the stanzas. And then the principal introduced him. He said, young people, you want to achieve in life? And here is a man, he passed out of this school. We are proud of him and said a lot of things. Now he's coming to lecture you. Take your paper, take your pen and get ready to write, because you're going to get something today. Winston Churchill stood up and he said, thank you very much, principal. And he said, children or students, listen, I have a message for you. Never give up, never give up, never give up. Then he hesitated and waited. Then he said, never give up, never give up, never give up. And then he waited and he said, never give up, never give up, never give up. He said, thank you. Went to sit down. That was all the message he had. And the people got the message. Never, never, never give up. That's what I'm coming to tell you today. That God has given you a ministry. He has given you something to do. Whatever you feel in your body and whatever challenges you are facing, God can work other miracles. But the miracles he has done already, that you are alive. Because you look like people that are miracles. I said you are a miracle yourself. The way you look, who will think that there's any problem here? I don't see any problem there. I said, you see anyone there? At the gallery, do you see anything there? This is a congregation of miracles. Amen. You are a miracle yourself. Amen. You've got something. Get up and use that thing you have got. And let me end up by saying, with Churchill, never give up, never give up, never give up. Rise up and let us pray. You tell the Lord, you're going to be an achiever. You'll do something in life. You've got a lot. Make use of what you've got. determine life's purpose, life's ambition, life's goal. You have it. Use it. Use what you have. Do something. Do something for the glory of God. The preaching of the gospel. The fulfillment of the great commission. Get something done. You can do it. People like you have done it. People who don't have as much as of God, they've done it. With all the challenges in their lives, they did it. All the peculiarities in their families, they did it. Get something done. Don't concentrate on what you don't have. Concentrate on what you have. Focus. Fresh focus. Personal. Positive. Focus. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said,
amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this day. Thank you for what we have heard. Lord, I pray you wake up your people.
Amen.
Grant everyone a fresh focus in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I pray that whatever it is you have appointed for each of us to do in this life, it will be done.
Amen.
We're not looking back again. We're not looking right or left. And we're not getting discouraged anymore. We're going to rise up. We're going to do it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you for the miracles you've given us already. And we thank you for the qualities of life you've given us already. We're going to make use of all these qualities of life. And we're going to be achievers in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I pray that whatever other things we need that you know, eyesight or ear drum or membrane or whatever, or it may be a good brain and all the depression, all the sickness and all the heartache, everything to be taken away, fulfill that for us again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let your miracles multiply in every life.
Amen.
Make us the people we ought to be.
Amen.
No more distraction.
Amen.
Will make us our mind today. We decide we're going to serve you. Nothing will hinder us anymore in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're looking away from the negative.
Amen.
We're looking up to you. We're going to do everything you want us to do. Go everywhere you want us to go. Be everything you want us to be. And Lord, at the end of the day, we're going to have a well done from the Almighty God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Thank you, and God bless you.